time for us to get into our parenting conversation for this week. And as mentioned, we are talking about raising kind children. What kind of child is your child? If they had to be described by their teachers, their peers, their friends, your neighbors, would your child be considered or described as kind? So someone who fills up the bucket, or someone who takes from the bucket? And why does it matter? Do you think it does matter to raise kids to be kind people? Send us your WhatsApp voice notes on 0727021702 or give us a call on 011-883-0702. Joined, as always, by our resident human potential and parenting expert, Nikki Bush. Nikki, as always, it's good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this week we're talking about children and raising kind children. Why is that our topic for this morning?
Well, this world that we live in is far from kind often, and we need to teach children how to be kind. So when children are toddlers, we tell them things like, be nice to the kitty and stroke the dog softly. So, you know, with children, we need to give them very concrete examples of kindness. So it's in the doing. It's in how we behave. It's in what they see. And remember, this world is full of examples of people not being kind. You know, if you listen to the media, watch TV, there's wars, there's kidnapping, there's all sorts of things. And I really do say to parents that if you've got children under the age of 10, honestly, don't keep the news on while you're in the car with your children. They don't need to hear that stuff. Even if they don't understand the words, they understand the energy behind the words. So we need to, as much as possible, give them many examples of kindness. So one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this today is that through COVID, with young children being raised at home, not being raised in social settings, not going to preschool, there is now a cohort of children that we call the COVID babies, the COVID children.
Yes.
And these children are exhibiting very different kinds of behavior to, shall we say, the pre-COVID children, where honestly, I'm hearing stories from teachers all the time of a child walking past a child they don't even know and biting them, being unkind. Children haven't learned how to socialize, how to be part of a group, because they were at home getting one-on-one attention from their parent, who was also possibly trying to work from home at the same time.
Yeah.
But being part of a group, when you're in a group, you need to behave with as much kindness as possible. And that's why we're talking about being bucket fillers today, because being a bucket filler is about being a kind person.
And I wonder, Nikki, you know, you're talking about the COVID baby. So the kids who would have been born, particularly in 2020, when there was very little socialization, parents were working from home, people were mainly not moving around as much, even going out, you know, to the shops or restaurants or hanging out socially. But I also wonder how much of it also has to do with, I mean, we've spoken about this before, about kids and how much they use technology. Because a lot of it, I mean, you were just saying, you know, kids kind of walking up to someone that they've never actually met or that they don't know and biting them, or kids not being able to acknowledge that there's another person in the room. I know at my school, and that's not necessarily a good thing, but you couldn't have an adult certainly walk past you and not stand up and acknowledge them. Say, good morning, ma'am, or good morning, sir. You had to be aware of other people being in the same space as you. But if kids are always looking at phones, especially to kind of distract them or placate them, I imagine that also has an impact on their ability to then have this awareness of other people, because they're kind of being distracted all the time or being encouraged to not be present and aware.
Gugs, that's a very important point. When you are talking to parents of teenagers, you hear the stories of how boyfriends and girlfriends break up online, literally a WhatsApp message away, which is a very unkind way of breaking up. Mm. And it's very low EQ. So what you're alluding to is A, respect, and B, emotionally intelligent behavior, where you are respectful of the fact that you are in a relationship, even if you're getting out of a relationship, and that you need to behave as a human being. And so relationship skills are very, very threatened at the moment with this generation who have grown up spending more time on a screen. And I often talk about the fact that what we don't want is children to grow up screen-based, sedentary, and solitary, because life is not about being solitary. It's about getting along with other people, getting on with people, even if you don't like them.
Mm.
Even if they're not your kind of person, the world is full of different kinds of people, and we need to get along with people. Otherwise, we land up in this very polarized situation. And sadly, that's what we are often seeing, you know, with wars and politicians, is this polarization. So we're kind of trying to do something which children don't see out there. So trying to do something different within our homes so that we create this emotionally intelligent child. And so children learn about kindness and happiness by being on the receiving end of it. And I came across this book, and it's the reason why we're talking about being a bucket filler, called Have You Filled a Bucket Today? And if you are a parent of a child under the age of 10, this would be a great book to go and find. And it's by Carol McLeod. And it's a really practical, teachable concept, because it's pretty much a happiness guide. And her concept is about the fact that everyone is born with an invisible bucket that needs to be filled with love and nurturing, with healthy touch, singing, play, attention, and safety. And children need to learn that everyone else also has an invisible bucket that needs to be filled, and that each person can help to fill everybody else's invisible buckets. Isn't that such a beautiful analogy?
Mm.
Even as adults, we need to remember this.
And so how do you then tell whether, I guess, you, because I imagine kids also learn, you know, we often talk about how parents model a lot of behavior for their kids. So how do you tell if you, and by extension, your kids potentially are bucket fillers? What are the characteristics of a bucket filler?
So in order to know whether they are bucket fillers, they also need to know what a bucket dipper is, because a bucket dipper is someone who makes other people feel bad, sad, upset, and lonely, to name just a few. So, for example, you know, that teenager who breaks up using a WhatsApp instead of having a face-to-face conversation is going to be a bucket dipper. A child who goes up to someone and bites them is a bucket dipper, not a bucket filler. So a bucket dipper is the person, when we steal good feelings from somebody else's invisible bucket, that's the bucket dipper. So a bully who does mean things or makes other people feel bad is a bucket dipper. And the concept that she talks about in the book, which I think is so fabulous, she says many people who dip into other people's buckets have an empty bucket. And that's exactly what we talk about when we tell children about bullying, is we say the bully is the person who's really feeling bad and sad and empty. And in order to feel better, they try and make somebody else feel worse.
Mm.
That is the whole transaction between the bully and the bullied. So they think that if they can steal from somebody else's bucket, they'll feel better. But it actually doesn't really work. You can never fill your own bucket when you dip into somebody else's. And she says, but guess what? When you fill someone's bucket, you fill your bucket too. And that's an interesting concept, is that when you fill somebody else's bucket, you fill your bucket too. Let me take this in another direction, because I think as parents, you might understand this concept. And it's a leadership concept that I was taught when I was in a leadership position and recruiting people into my sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taught that if you help somebody else to get what they want, you'll get what you want. And that's a huge step up the ladder on EQ, that it's not all about you. It's about customized leadership. It's about helping that person get the extra 3,000 rand a month they need for whatever it is that they want, and helping somebody else get an extra 10,000 rand a month because they want to do something entirely different with their extra money. And it's knowing that. And that's also part of EQ, is knowing how to respond in different situations to different people.
Mm. And Nikki, you were just saying that often, you know, someone might become someone who, you know, dips into the bucket rather than fills the bucket, particularly of other people's, because something is happening with them, whatever that thing might be. And we have a message here that says, I have a challenge with my grandson who is living with us after the loss of his mom. I've taken him for therapy, but he's displaying so much anger at school. And it's from Mapule saying, I'm really desperate to assist this young soul. And so I imagine because, you know, the loss of a parent would have been something that would have taken so much from him. Then he is displaying, you know, all of this anger. He's probably, you know, especially if it's happening at school, towards his teachers and or his peers. So how do you assist a child because of, you know, quite a big trauma and something that they'll probably have to contend with while into adulthood? How do you help them not lash out in that way or, you know, harm other people because of this great trauma and grief and sadness, this terrible thing that's happened to them? And which I imagine then makes them right now, it sounds as if they would be someone who is dipping into the bucket rather than filling it because of this grief.
Yes. Yeah, so what an amazing example that we have here from Mapule. And yeah, just condolences for the loss that this family has suffered. It is interesting, you know, what she said. He's got so much anger. And I would say what happens is that they act out the anger. She doesn't say how old her grandson is. But children often don't have the words to convey the enormity of their feelings. And so they resort to acting out on the feelings. And in order to take back control of what feels out of control, he is lashing out because he can. So, you know, he may be feeling all sorts of things, from rejection, from loss, to anger, to sadness, to anxiety, to feeling out of control. And because children can't necessarily speak about the details of how they feel, depending on how old they are, we have modalities like play therapy, which are really good for children, where they can act out in a safe place how they are feeling, where they can come to grips with how they're feeling, start to understand the how and the why of how they're feeling. And what I say is they get to play their sillies out. So that is something that I would recommend. You would go to an educational psychologist for that. And it can help enormously to soothe a child. I would also, in this situation, give this child opportunities to play with things like Play-Doh and anything sensory, because we need to calm this child down as much as possible. But there's a big void, there's a big hole here that cannot be filled. It can only be soothed. And it's very easy for a child in this situation to be a bucket dipper. Mm. Having been through loss and grief myself, having lived through this time with grown children who were 18 and 22 at the time, I can tell you there was a lot of bucket dipping going on. And as the mum, I was the person who was on the receiving end of that because I was the safe person. So they often will lash out with the people who are the safe people. And we also have to, in that situation, talk about kindness as well. We need to say things like, that wasn't nice. It makes me sad. Or I'm not for kicking and I'm not for hitting and I'm not for biting. You can't let your children kick you and hit you and bite you. Mm. And so you need to respond to them with words like, I'm not for kicking. I'm not for hitting. I'm not for shouting about. Sometimes with really young children who are very angry and very frustrated, what they need is to be held really firmly. And they need to almost struggle in your arms until they break down and cry. Because what they really need is to have a good cry. And sometimes they need to fight to have the cry. But they need to fight in a safe space. And you holding them tight while they struggle can help them get through the frustration to the point of crying. And it's an interesting concept when they get to release that emotion finally through crying. You see, crying, sometimes we don't want to cry because we don't want to be seen as weak. And yet crying can be the best way to release these negative emotions, these frightening emotions. And by holding the child tightly while they go through that kind of initiation of finding the cry button, it can make them feel safe enough to let go.
It also sounds as if, you know, Nikki, as you say, you know, maybe a child is going through a difficult time, like Mapule's grandson, and they, you know, even as you were saying in your experience, because you were the safe person, you were then kind of the person that received a lot of that kind of hurt and anger and frustration and grief, but also teaching, I guess, kids that even for, if other people are going through difficult times, whatever it might be, a loss or a trauma, that they shouldn't accept that behavior. So maybe someone they love, be it a friend, or even, you know, could be a parent. Maybe your parent has had a really difficult day and they come home and they're a little bit grumpy or a little bit shouty, that it also, I guess, teaches kids that someone can't take from your bucket just because they are going through a difficult time. It almost seems like indirectly, it's a really good lesson about boundaries, that you can't behave in that way, but also at the same time, other people can't behave towards you in that way, just because, you know, life is happening.
Yes, that is a very good point. And teaching children to be assertive and having boundaries is very, very important. And if you've taught them about the bucket dipper, bucket filler analogy, and they become alert to the fact that a child may be acting out, they have the power to walk up to a child and say, I can see you're having a bad time and I'm sorry. Mm. And they don't even have to get into it. They can just acknowledge, I can see you're having a bad time and I'm sorry. I heard a beautiful story last night from my mum. We have a friend who is very unwell, has had a really nasty cancer diagnosis, and she has a 12-year-old daughter. And I have a 13-year-old nephew who go to the same school. And my nephew is a real empath, and he really does have that heart for people who are in pain and in trouble. And I heard that he walked up to her in the playground and said, I'm really sorry to hear about your mum. For a 13-year-old boy, I think that's a big move. And that little girl turned around and said, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So what a beautiful act of kindness. You know, sometimes it's just about acknowledging. It's just acknowledging where somebody is, where they find themselves, and us acknowledging where our children find themselves. So we need to be pointing out on a regular basis to our children, was that how you reacted today? Were you being a bucket filler or were you being a bucket dipper? And we can have conversations with children over the dinner table. And I think this is a great dinner table conversation that could start with this question. Go around the table and ask every family member, so how did you fill someone else's bucket today? and let them really think about that. How did they fill someone else's bucket today? What did they do to make somebody else feel better? That invisible bucket, what did they do to fill someone's invisible bucket? You can also go around and say, did you dip into anybody's bucket today? Also raising the self-awareness of their behavior and their actions so that we raise bucket fillers, not bucket dippers.
We've received a WhatsApp voice note on 0727021702.
Hi, Googs. I'm listening at you with Nikki, and the topic is quite interesting and eye-opening as well, because sometimes we as parents, we're not present in our children's life. We don't see if a child needs something. We don't give them attention. Sometimes you see a child calling a parent more than five times, Ma, Mommy, 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 and Mommy is so, distance. And same as the daddy as well. When the child speaks, that's my advice. When the child speaks, listen and listen attentively. Please, good parents. That's Doy Mtembu. Love you all.
Thank you very much for that message, Doy. Nikki?
What a great message. So really, she's alluding to the fact that when we're not emotionally present, when we're not listening to our children, they will actually resort to negative attention-seeking behavior. This is very normal for adults and for children, and she's 100% right. Listen to your children. Show up for them so that they don't have to resort to negative attention-seeking behavior.
Nikki, as always, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
That's a pleasure, Googs. And if anyone wants to know more about being a bucket filler or a bucket dipper, go to nikkibush.com and just punch in to the search bucket filler.
That's our human potential and parenting expert, Nikki Bush, joining us this morning. If there's a topic you'd like for us to look at in our parenting feature, send it through to us on WhatsApp on 0727021702.